Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our review series examines books, movies, music, and other media in the light of God's truth. We pray that it will be eye-opening, instructional, and beneficial for your daily walk with Christ.
Welcome to Burden and Blessing Podcast. We are here today with myself, Pastor Neil Radical, and joining me is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew, doing a movie review on Paul the Apostle of Christ, which is set to come out at the end of March, just in time for Holy Week, and that at wrapping up the Passion season of our Lord Jesus. How are you doing today, Nathaniel?
Very well, better than I deserve, Neil.
So, glad to hear that, and I think that during the season of Lent, we all should be saying that, and I think I'm really glad to be able to visit and talk to you about this. To be honest, I really know nothing about this movie, this Paul movie, and so I'm asking you questions just out of a curiosity standpoint. Now, you had a special opportunity to preview the movie. Can you talk to me about that a little bit?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not the only one in that boat. There's not a whole lot of people that are aware of this movie. I did. I had an opportunity. Somebody reached out to me and said, hey, we are doing a special release, a preview of this movie that's going to be released in March. Would you like to see it? So my wife and I actually drove 2 hours in order to find a theater that was playing this movie. We had to drive up to the Twin Cities, and we watched it. So what they were trying to do is they were trying to get a little bit more traction for the movie for when it's released. It was all church people that were involved, so church and ministry type people that they were reaching out to and saying, hey, we would like you to preview this and then tell us what you think about it and then hopefully tell others to go see it when it is released. And so I thought this would be a nice opportunity for us to discuss it during the season of Lent,
yeah,
but also to kind of give people an idea of what is coming out.
The heads and, up about it, right?
Yeah, and whether they should or shouldn't see it, because I'll tell you what, there aren't that many Christian movies that come out, and the ones that do usually don't hit the big screen where you're located. So
that was what – this is my – the first thing I want to ask you about this is there are quote-unquote Christian movies that come out. Is this one any different? Because there's been a, you know, you had the Russell Crowe and Noah one that came out. You had Mel Gibson's Passion before that. You know, the last decade, I've seen, in my opinion, an influx of quote unquote biblical Christian movies. How is this one different? Is this even really worth my time, to be honest?
It is different. First of all, let me compare it to the Noah one. The Noah one had really no biblical foundation at all. I mean, that was just a bunch of garbage. The Passion of the Christ, it might be more closely connected to or related to the Passion of the Christ because it is coming or it's trying to follow the biblical narrative. So I would put it more in the category of the Passion of the Christ than the Noah movie, which is coming from that secular standpoint. There were a couple of concerns that I had as I was watching the movie historically and biblically, and we can talk a little bit about that as we go along. But I will tell you one thing. I don't know. Sometimes you go to these Christian movies. Maybe you or many of our listeners, they've seen some of the ones like Fireproof or Courageous, some of those ones that have been out there, even War Room, which is more recent. And a lot of times you come away from a movie like that and you think, you know, the acting was just not up to par for what you would see in a typical mainline movie.
Cinema theater, yeah.
Right. And this one did stand out as a head above the rest of these other Christian movies as far as the cinematography, as far as the acting. The one of the main actors in this, well, there are two main actors, the one that plays Paul and the one that plays Luke. And the one that plays Luke is Jim Caviezel, who actually played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ. He also played, for those who are more familiar with secular movies, he played the main character in The Count of Monte Cristo from a number of years ago. That was probably where he first got his start. He is an outspoken Christian, does an excellent job in his role. The other main character was a character that played in a TV show, Downton Abbey. Some of our listeners are familiar with that. So they are familiar actors. They do come from a Christian perspective, but they're well known in the acting world as well. So very well done.
Why don't you take us through a little bit of, as far as that setting of it goes, what's going on here in this particular movie?
So this is all really about the Apostle Paul and Luke, and the setting is at the end of the 60s AD during the reign of Nero. So some of our listeners might be familiar with the fact that Nero was the one that set fire to Rome. He blamed it on the Christians in order to start a persecution of the Christians. So that's the setting for this movie. The Apostle Paul is in prison the second time, so it's not his first imprisonment from which he was released. It's his second imprisonment, and this is the one that it's during that second imprisonment that he writes 2 Timothy, that is long been considered the very last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. He was expecting to die when he wrote that letter. And so the storyline of this movie, set into the Neronian persecution, is the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome. Luke comes to visit the Apostle Paul, but there's sort of a lockdown on Rome, especially when it comes to Christians, so it's hard to get in and out. Some other familiar names, Aquila and Priscilla from the New Testament, they are there in Rome. They meet Luke. They get Luke in to see the Apostle Paul. And basically the whole movie, there are some sub-themes, but basically the whole movie is about the discouragement of the Christians in Rome, how because they are being persecuted, some of them want to retaliate, stand up for themselves and fight, and they're wrestling with this turn-the-other-cheek idea. And Luke thinks that if they had the opportunity to meet the Apostle Paul and to hear the way that he dealt with his own persecution in his life, that would be what they would need in order to get through this difficult time in their lives. So then he goes to jail. He sneaks into the jail where the Apostle Paul is
to talk to
Paul and write down the life of Paul. So basically the way that they're presenting it is what Luke is writing down is what would become the book of Acts, the second part of Luke's gospel.
So is the movie set up then where it's basically like he gets in there and now it's like flashbacks throughout his life then?
Yes, that's a big part of the movie. So a lot of it is what's going on right then and there in Rome. That's the most of it. But as he's talking with Paul, he'll flashback to his time as a Pharisee. There's the flashback to when he was there stoning Stephen at the very beginning of the book of Acts. He flashes back to his
Luke's not flashing back, but Paul Luke's is. Hearing the
right.
Luke's hearing the memory of Paul while he's in prison writing this down.
Correct. So
okay.
Luke is jotting these things down, and he's saying, Paul, you know, people need to know who you are and what you have done and all of these things. So Paul is then he's dictating to Luke, and Luke is then writing this down. So he flashes back to the death of that's at the book the beginning of the book of Acts, the martyrdom of Stephen, which Paul would have been there for. The Bible tells us that they came and laid their coats at the feet of Saul, who later became Paul. He flashes back to his conversion on the road to Damascus. He flashes back to the years that he spent in Arabia studying the Old Testament as he grew in his Christian faith.
After Jesus appeared to him on Damascus.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the first part of some of his missionary journeys are flashed back to, although that's a kind of a minor part.
Okay.
So basically what the story is about.
With all the biblical history that you just brought into there that they're trying to obviously summarize in a film length here, how accurate would you say it is to the Bible? Because you did bring in a lot of historical things from the New Testament, so that was one of the big concerns that came up with Mel Gibson's Passion. You know, how much of this is actually historically accurate from what you could tell?
For the most part, it was very, very well done. And a person who's familiar with the New Testament in particular, as they're watching the movie, they're going to see passages that are going to come out in the dialogue that are taken directly from Philippians or from Corinthians or from Romans, you know,
Acts.
It's really neat to see those. Now, some of those I didn't care for the way that they put it because
like the emphasis on the verse?
No. I love the fact that they brought the scripture in, but the way that it was presented. For example, there's this one scene near the end of the movie. Paul and Luke are walking and they're talking. And Paul quotes, he says this verse from Philippians. Now, Philippians was already written It had already been sent out, and Luke may have actually been involved in. He knew the Philippians. He was with Paul on the second missionary journey. But in the movie, when Paul says that quotation and Luke hears it, he says, "Oh, that is really good," as if, you know, it's brand new. It's never been said before. So it makes it look like, and it's great that they bring those Bible passages in. I didn't care for the way that the director made it look like though that was brand new, that Paul had just come up with that. That was actually something that he had written years ago and sent off to other believers in other parts of the world. So that was one of the struggles that I had.
Do you think he was trying to do that? Could you see – this would be one of my concerns. Because Paul wrote so much of the New Testament, was he trying to show the divine inspiration there, or was this – you know what I mean? I'm putting the best construction on things.
Right.
But.
No, I did not get that impression at all. And I don't know how many of the directors, you know, if they would actually agree with what we would call the doctrine of inspiration
to the same degree. Right.
So, you know, I guess that was one of the concerns that I had, is that they seemed to play with it a little bit more fast and loose than if you and I were going to design and direct this movie. We would want to make sure that it was, you know, every aspect was accurate. There's a lot of biblical analogy that's there, which is wonderful. That's how the gospel gets out. But it's not always in the right place historically. And again, the average person probably isn't going to notice that. But, you know, with a critical eye, you can say, hey, that doesn't seem to make sense from what I know from the rest of the New Testament.
So there's two points there that I want to make then. One, you talked about the gospel going out. Let's save that one for a second. The second part is not being historically accurate in all places from what you observed. So again, since I haven't seen this, how do you feel about people watching these things, these Christian movies, when they aren't historically accurate? And, you know, if they're taking them all in as truth or fact, how do you feel about that?
I don't know that there was anything in there that was – there may have been. I didn't catch anything that was flat out contradictory to Scripture, where they were undermining Scripture and teaching something that was false.
Okay.
So I think there's a difference in doctrine that is either true or false, or the way in which the history of Scripture is placed. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think there's a difference between those two things. And I think that there's a lot of value. Number one, I think it's great that we have a biblical movie that's based on the book of Acts with the, you know, quotations from the Apostle Paul's letters that is going to be put out there for the public to see. What a wonderful thing. What I would caution, especially our listeners and other people who might be sharing this, is that as you go into this movie, understand that not everything is going to be completely historically accurate, and it gives us an opportunity to dig into God's word and say, you know, like the Bereans,
right,
to search the Scriptures to see whether these things are so. That's the joy that we have. And so I would encourage people, first of all, I would encourage them to go see the movie, and we can come back and talk about that in a little bit. But before they do, knowing what the history of this is going to be about, the book of Acts, I would encourage them, let's prep for that by reading through the book of Acts, reading through some of the letters of the Apostle Paul, and being ready as you go in, and then maybe reviewing it again after the movie and discussing it with some other Christians. What are some things that you liked? What are some things that you caught that maybe weren't quite accurate?
Sure.
And having a discussion about it, but it gives us an opportunity to talk with our neighbors, our coworkers, you know, over the water cooler kind of thing about,
right,
hey, did you see this movie? This is a great movie about the book of Acts.
It's in all the theaters, yeah.
Yeah.
So the secondary thing we're going to come back to is you mentioned the gospel going out there. So expand on that a little bit more. What do you mean?
Well, one of the struggles that I had with the movie is that it was more about the life of the Apostle Paul than it was about who Paul preached.
Okay.
So the gospel's there, but it is not what the movie is about, if that makes sense. And I, to some degree, you understand that because it was written to basically tell the life of the Apostle Paul. So you have to go into it understanding this is not an evangelical, it is not a movie that has the intention of evangelizing.
Yeah, but you know what? To that point, though, and I'm disappointed in that also, having still not seen it, but if you're going to talk about – if you're going to watch a documentary – I know this isn't a documentary, but a movie about anybody's biography, you know, that, and so many of those have gone out. Just about every biography I've watched always focuses on that individual's magnum opus,
right.
You know, and you know, the gospel of Christ is without a doubt, no question, Paul's magnum opus. And for them not to, from what you've said, like just fully hit that, you know, it's like you think of the different inventors, you know, you focus on this was their big,
yeah,
you know, contribution, yeah, to society. You know, this is big Paul's big contribution to the kingdom of Christ,
yeah,
you know, and like how the Lord used him, you know. We do the same thing with Luther, you know, like the 95 Theses, you know, he's got these big moments where we're going to focus on the impact that the Lord used him. It sounds like to me that kind of failed there.
Yeah, but again, I don't think that was their purpose. So if
okay.
you go into the movie saying, oh, this is going to be a great thing, it's going to point everybody to Jesus, that is not the purpose of the movie.
Okay.
Now, it's
okay.
not that it's not there. Jesus is mentioned to, you know, he's alluded to throughout the movie.
Are there flashbacks
to him? That's not
the
focus. There are, but they're indirect. For example, in the conversion of Saul to Paul, you have Jesus speaking from heaven, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So you have him there, and there are those mentions of, you know, he is the one who gives strength, especially in those quotations from Paul's letters that are found interspersed throughout the movie. So it's there.
Okay.
But if I were to summarize, you know, really what the directors, the producers were trying to accomplish, in fact, they gave us, when we went to it, they gave us this little bracelet. It's a nice leather bracelet that's made in Haiti, and it says, love is the only way. Now,
okay.
you think about that, and you say, well, that's perfect. That's exactly what Jesus would have said, you know, love your neighbor. But what it's dealing with is the Christians in Rome who were being persecuted showing love to one another and to the Romans who are doing it. So it's a sanctification message. And you think about our society today, you know, how that's a pretty common theme. Love
right.
is the only way, you know, just show love and everything's going to be just fine. So
not a bad message if
not
it's motivated
bad,
by Christ.
Right. But
right.
if you take it outside of the context of Christ, then it's a pretty empty message. It can't do anything. Love doesn't change anything because love has to come from God. We love because he first loved us. So, you know, I'm not going to try to read the hearts of the producers or the directors and what their intention was, although that
right.
is kind of the main subplot of this movie, this idea of encouraging Christians to show love to others even when they don't love them.
Oh, the sacrificial type of love.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part about the movie? I mean, without giving everything away, so to speak,
yeah.
how the movie goes, what was like, this scene was, I just thought it was really cool. I love the way they did that.
Well, you know me, and you know my love of history.
I do.
So one of the things that I really, really enjoyed about the movie was the fact that it brings in the history of Rome. It describes what the Romans did under Nero to the Christians. They have – now, this is one of the more graphic things. It's rated PG-13. So one of the cautions that I would have is that there are a number of scenes in the movie that are pretty graphic. Back in those days, they would actually light Christians on fire. That's where we get the term Roman candles. Where they would actually light a person on fire, and so there are scenes where people are being lit up, they're alive, you know, and they're being torched. There are a couple of scenes where people are being mocked, beaten, whipped. There are a couple of fight scenes that are in there with the Romans. So there's a little bit of graphic stuff. It's nowhere near what we see with the Passion of the Christ.
Okay.
So it's not that severe, but there is that. And so my favorite thing, I think, would be just being able to see in a visual form what it would have been like for those Christians living in Rome at that time. And we know that there was a Christian church in Rome during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the way that they took secular history and what we know from biblical history and weaved it together in order to show very clearly some of the things that the early Christians would have struggled with in that type of environment. And I think probably one of the best things that comes out of this movie is, number one, for us living in the United States of America in the 21st century, a sympathy, a sort of a compassion for our brothers in other parts of the world that live in countries like that, like in China or in India, Nepal, you know, some of these countries that are anti-Christian, and that right. they deal with that type of thing. And then also an appreciation then for the freedom that we do have in our country that we don't always take advantage of. Here the Lord has opened the door for us in our country to be able to speak plainly, clearly about the gospel. And what do? We sit quietly in our homes and we don't stand up and support the truth of God. Here's the Apostle Paul who was in prison. Why? Because he spoke the truth. And so we have an opportunity to do that without the fear of punishment, and we don't. And hopefully it will serve as a motivation for Christians today to say, you know what? I need to do a better job of standing up for the truth of God's word. That's what Paul did. That's what Luke did. That's what Aquila and Priscilla did. And to be motivated to say, my Savior is so important to me. The love of Christ compels me, as Paul would say.
I don't think there's anybody who could say, already do a great job of sharing my faith. You know, I can't do any better than I already do. Yeah, that's something we all stand to improve on, and, you know, and reaching out to people. So you mentioned earlier, kind of in closing, that you'd encourage and recommend people to go see this. Why?
If you know how movies work, when a movie comes out the first weekend, basically the movie industry says, we're going to keep that movie in theaters for a long or a short period of time based on the popularity of that movie over the opening weekend. And as I mentioned early on, we don't see very many Christian movies that make it to these, you know, the big screen in our communities. And so if we as Christians don't go out to see this movie, and it's only, you know, it only has a small grossing amount for the opening weekend, then number one, it's not going to be around for very long. Number two, it's also going to send a message to the movie industry that says, ha, there's not much money-making ability in these Christian movies, so let's not make them. So one of the reasons that I would encourage people to go and see it, I mentioned one earlier, I think it's a wonderful opportunity to sit down, to go back to the scriptures, to discuss with people, whether it be our fellow Christians or non-Christians in our community, what the movie is all about. And every time we get back into God's word, that's a good thing. Drives right. us back to searching the scriptures. So do that. But secondly, from a more secular standpoint, if we go out and see this movie and we talk about it with others, it does send a message to Sony Pictures, who's the producer of this movie, that there is a demand for good, clean, Christian movies. And they say, you know what? We had a really good turnout for this movie. Let's see if we can make another one.
Right.
And so it's
sending plenty of stuff in the Bible for that too.
Absolutely. Right? Oh yeah, there's lots of material. Yeah. So for that reason, I would encourage people if they take a look at this, it opens up March 23rd, which is the weekend before Holy Week. So it's right before Palm Sunday, and it will be in theaters all over the country. I would encourage people to keep an eye out for it, look for it, go see it, take a group of people from church to see it, talk about it beforehand, talk about it afterwards. And let's send them a message that says, hey, we want to see more movies like this. We're not going to agree with everything, but unless you or I make it, right? And even if you made it, I might not agree with everything.
Yeah, I like that idea of taking, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a church event, but you don't have to go to even that extreme. Just call up some people.
Yeah.
You know, call up your neighbor, get a discussion about, hey, I'm going to go see this movie. I'm curious about it. Why don't you come see it with me? And it could lead to discussions there. Take a family member, you know, be careful what. Right.
You know, take your right. catechism class, take your high school, college age class. Say, hey, you know, we're gonna have this outing. Let's talk a little bit about the Book of Acts before we go. Let's go see it. Let's come back and maybe, you know, the next day or something, let's discuss, you know, what did you think about it? What do you see? How does that compare with what Scripture says? There's all kinds of opportunities that we would have.
Yeah. You definitely got me interested in checking it out more. I have not even really seen much for previews for this, so What's the website link if you want to check it out more in depth?
If you want to learn a little bit about it, see the trailers. There's also a bunch of devotionals that are going out. They're releasing them one day at a time through the 40 days of Lent. So each day you can have you can click onto this and it'll have a new devotional reading from one of the epistles of Paul during the season of Lent. The website is www.paulmovie.com. So okay. www.paulmovie.com, and you can see the trailers. There's interviews with the two main actors, and then there's these devotional readings. All you do is you can listen. You can either watch a video, or you can just basically see them reading a section of scripture from the letters of the Apostle Paul during the season of Lent.
Interesting. Yeah, I liked your idea of make sure you read scriptures around it too and use that to compare and use that as a way of studying further based on what the Bible says.
Right.
Certainly a beneficial thing to do during the season of Lent and Holy Week. So, well, thank you for your time. I hope this review was helpful for those of you who were able to listen in. And thank you, Nathaniel. Lord's blessings to you and to each one of you. Please share this post if you found it helpful to those maybe you'd be interested in going to it or like to talk more about it. And please subscribe to Burn and Blessing if you'd like to hear more reviews just like this. Lord be with you and keep you as we wait for that great and wonderful day of our Lord's return. Until then, take care.
We invite you to join us every week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior for sinners. Until next week, take comfort in the fact that God is your rock and ever-present help in trouble.